Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. ReadingThePlay.com.
All right, let's get into these week two games. So, Tristan, I might get you to run through the market for us. It's a little bit difficult, as you say, with the one-sided nature of some of them. But it's starting with the Kangaroos. Nathan Cleary playing his first test match along with five other players on debut up there at Coventry up against the Bravehearts. So I think I can read to the next decimal point that price for the Kangaroos.
Yeah, this was a bit like playing pin the tail on the donkey here, this trying to work out where we pop this line. We opened it up at 60.5 and we laid the minus immediately. So the line went from 60.5 out to a high of 65. We laid it at each of the price points out to 65.5. And then just in the last couple of hours, there's been a little bit of support for the Scottish side at the 65.5, and we've popped it back into 63. So it's a real tricky one to work out where we're positioning this game. But right at the moment, we've got the line at 63.5. And you're right, Jimmy, the head-to-head pricing is Australia are 1.001, Scotland are 80-1. And one, I don't know if you call him brave punter, but one customer has had 8,800 on Australia at $1.001 to, maybe buy a soft serve or something. So he's very, very brave there. But the total points is an interesting one, 77.5. So we're expecting a point a minute in this game.
Well, if we got the total set at 77.5 and Australia at minus 63.5, the market's suggesting that Scotland could contribute maybe 10 to 12 points. I don't know how. I can't see them contributing a point. So certainly the only angle I'd probably look at would be under the 77.5. Gee, 63.5, that's an enormous line. But Scotland were just so poor last weekend. Australia are going to be stronger because they've got key players coming in that didn't play last week. The only risk, I think, is if you were keen to want to take Australia and that minus 63.5 is that last 10 to 15 minutes, if we then again start to see the player rotation. But, yeah, Australia win very comfortably. My only angle would probably be the under.
Just on that, Scotland's team totals is actually set at 5.5 short of the overs, $1.72 the over. So it's the expectation there is that Scotland will score one try and then it would leave the Aussies to put up around 70 points. So that's the expected score based on our betting, around 70-6.
I tell you what I think is going to be really interesting. What is the manner in which Mal Meninga plays this side? Because when you look at this side and what they can do, and I think we talk most notably about not so much at dummy half, but certainly at first receiver. And when we say first receiver in this side, we don't necessarily mean Nathan Cleary. We mean Isaiah Yeo. He does it for Penrith, he does it for New South Wales. What does he do for Australia? Because, Cameron Murray plays a very different way compared to Isaiah Yeo. Yes, he plays first receiver and he digs into the line, but Isaiah does it differently, and Isaiah does it in complete concert with Nathan Cleary, who's very au fait with his game. So it's almost like they go hand in hand, and everyone's trying to talk about the combination between Cameron Munster and Nathan Cleary. I think the combination between Isaiah Yeo and Nathan Cleary is the really pivotal one. And to be honest, if you're Mal Meninga, you just have to say, well, play like you play at Penrith. Like in the space of a week or in the space of 4 weeks of this tournament, you're not going to change it. I think they're your best team, the best combination. Munster, I think, could play with anyone. So if that's the way, then Mal's just got to say, like, guys, just go and play the way you play for Penrith. We'll work around that. That might be a little bit different with their dummy half, and Appy Coruscant seems to be very, very relaxed with it, and Damien Cook seems to get it. I don't think it's going to pose a problem for Harry Grant, but I think that's one of the really interesting points that's going to come out of this game against Scotland.
I think the other thing that's interesting there too, Jimmy, is that Munster started last week, played very well, man of the match, comes off with, 15 or so minutes to go. Mal wants to start him again this week because he clearly wants to build on his combination with Nathan Cleary. I suggest, that Australia are going to be leading by 40 or 50 or 60 coming into 10 minutes into the second half, well, why do you then leave Munster out there? So Munster will be coming off. Who does he then put at six? And who else does he end up rotating out of the game? And that then lies the question, you know, are they covering 63.5 and is it high scoring? So I don't think Mel's going to want to take too many risks, but I don't know there's any risks to be taking against Scotland.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the under 77.5. I think that'd be the... And it goes against everything I believe in, boys. You know that, but, you know, you'll be desperate for Campbell Graham to be dropping the ball over the line, which is not what we want to see.
Well, Jimmy, at least if you're on the under 77.5, you've seen at least 76 points in the game before you're pulling their tail back.
Yeah, well, that's true. Fiji v Italy, this, as you mentioned, is going to be an interesting one. The market hasn't responded to Italy's great form, Tristan.
No, the market certainly hasn't. Although, I don't know what, if we price this market up a couple of weeks before the World Cup started, I think Fiji might have been below that $1.10 mark. So, Fiji are $1.15, Italy $5.50, the line 16.5. So, certainly very, very clear favourites, the Fijian side, should I say. Just having a look at where the betting's moved, it hasn't really. We've taken a little bit of action at the minus. The line opened at 14.5. And it's moved out to 16.5, and there's been just a few multis running through the Fijian side. So certainly support for Fiji to march forward.
Yeah, I mean I think Fiji win. They were much better than I expected against Australia because I thought they were so poor in their pre-tournament trial. Whether that was a week where they were going to want to be up. And maybe they're a touch more complacent this week. If anything, I probably have to be with the plus, but it's not a game I like at all.
But this might be interesting then. If you think there were 30 junk points, England versus France, and now we've got England at a very short quote, France at $23, but the plus 36.5, Tristan. So this is an interesting one on the back of reasonably impressive France 34-12 over Greece.
Yeah, it is, and as Jared touched on, you know, sometimes that scoreline can be a little bit flattering, particularly when we know the wraps that Samoa had going into that game. But England's double the price of Australia head-to-head. They're 1.002. France at $23, and 36.5 is the line now. We did open the line at 38.5. It dropped into 35.5, and now it's just middle back out to 36. So it's sort of just trying to... It's a difficult thing to try to find where these numbers sit at the moment, but at 36.5, we are skewed towards the minus. But yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think probably the market has slightly overreacted to England's performance. It might be a little bit of a subtle letdown as well. Obviously, they would have been right up for that game against Samoa, first game at home in a World Cup, knowing that if they won, they were in a much better position. So whether there's just that little bit of a letdown, in France might be a bit more competitive than the market suggests.
Yeah, I certainly thought 38.5 where it opened a couple of days ago was a touch too high. I mean, France led Greece 20-0, and they didn't go on with it. Greece ended up coming up with two tries off adventurous plays, which I thought was positive, but suggests that, you know, France's defence was fair. You would have thought with the Robinson influence, that's going to be their key focus here this week. Certainly England win. I would have to probably lean to the plus 36.5, but, you know, no major confidence because I'm just not, you know, both in their trial and then in their first up game, the French have fallen away in the last 20 minutes. And again, we could see England just, you know, picking out three or four late tries and all of a sudden taking it out to a 40-point margin.
Yeah, it'd be interesting too because for the very first time that basically France have all full-time athletes that are there. They're out of the two Super League clubs or been playing in the division below that. But there's only two or three players in that squad that have been playing in the division below. So they went with Tonga. Now, what do we take out of that result in the warm-up game and until about the 60-minute mark? And as you say, but the last try that Greece scored, it was spectacular. But it's Billy Magulius again chipping over from his own half. And anyway, good luck to you. Hey, can the Kiwis score 75 more points than Jamaica, Tristan?
Well, we were touching on earlier about how big the Australian line is against Scotland. And we've got an extra 11 points for the Kiwis. And they've been very, very well backed. It's $81 about Jamaica, and the line opened at 67.5 for the Kiwis, and it's bounced all the way out to 74.5. Certainly been one-way traffic for New Zealand to put on a big number against Jamaica, who were beaten soundly by Ireland. So obviously this is a much harder step up in class, and I do fear for the Jamaicans, and it could be a long old night for them.
Yeah, if there was one game where there's a team going to cover 72.5 or something into the 70s, you'd think that this is the one. Yeah, I mean, Jamaica are making up the numbers. They're the weakest of all 16 teams that are here, soundly beaten by Ireland. Probably could have been more. I'd say New Zealand are going to want to play for a little bit more combination this week. Like Australia, they were very clunky last week. Certainly New Zealand win, and if they're serious into the second half, then they'll give that 72.5 a big shake.
Jordan Rapana could kick 12 from 13 or something like that. Like that's what was actually probably won't. He kick 8 from 13, and that might be the saving grace for the unders. The final game where the market is up for this for round two. This is a really interesting one. So Lebanon and the Wolfhounds, the tightest game of round two, Tristan.
Yeah, just before we get onto that, what about Reece Martin with his, was it 41 successful kicks, and commentary team did their best to stifle that when he had the kick from the sideline, notifying everyone of the record, and he slotted it straight over the middle. So, yes, I don't think Jordan Rapana will be doing anything in line with that. But, this last game is a hugely important game because this will see which side progresses out of the group stage, you would suspect. And Ireland have been well-backed early. They were backed a couple of days ago, which obviously coincided with the Adam Dewey news. And it's $1.62 now, the Irish side, $2.25 Lebanon, and 3.5. So it's gone from 2 out to 3.5. However, as you touched on, Jimmy, we've got to make sure we monitor if there's any late reprieve for Adam Dewey, because he would be one of the most influential players on the field here. Should be a really good game. Both sides perform probably better than expectation there in round one. So Lebanon will be keen to get the result and progress through, and so will Ireland, led by Luke Keary.
Well, he's been suspended and he has the right of appeal, but I'd be very surprised, given why he was binned and then suspended, that he ends up having the appeal upheld. So I'm expecting that he doesn't play. My other question, Mark, I said about Lebanon last week before their first game against the Kiwis that with Checker as coach, he's very much a motivator, very much about getting his men up for a big effort. And I thought we saw some of that in week one. Now, whether there's a bit of a dip off and a bit of a letdown into week two, and also if Dewey's not there, I thought Ireland were good, strong. Keary was outstanding. I thought Ireland win, and I think they cover the line. I probably just want to wait and see if the appeal is dismissed and that Dewey is out. But I thought Ireland could cover the 3.5 and certainly be winning by 4 or more.
Oh, wow. I'm the other way. I am strong the other way. Dewey plays or otherwise. Moses v. Keary, it's a good matchup, isn't it? Because I just think that... That motivating factor that you talk about with Checker can work here, right? And that's where they potentially have themselves an advantage. Matty King doing some work there too with the Lebanon side too. So I'd really like them at the +3.5. Might even think about them at a head-to-head, which might form a little part of what's coming up very shortly. All right.
Well, Jimmy, the answer's yes.
Right, okay, thank you. Thought you'd never accept, but there you go, head-to-head. I'm going Lebanon +3.5. And, Jared, you're going Ireland -3.5 for a lunch bet.
And I would like to be involved too, please, gentlemen.
Well, you have to, right? Yes. And no doubt you have to go with Ireland too, right?
I absolutely have to go with Ireland. So, that might be your biggest chance, Jimmy. And, Aisling declared that they might be the next big superpower of international football after their opening round performance. So let's see if she's proven right, and we'll see if we can get a lunch bet on the back of it, Jimmy.
I know that she has become Wolfhounds' number one ticket holder too, following their great performance in round one of the Rugby League World Cup. Is that your best, Jerry?
It is, Jimmy.
Oh, wow. So something about candy and a baby. But anyway.
Well, Jimmy, when you look through what was on offer this week, it was a little bit tricky to sift our way through. There's three other games which the markets will be up over the next couple of days, but Samoa take on Greece. You'd expect that Samoa are going to be very warm favourites. They have to improve, and there'll be a lot of focus and pressure around that. Tonga take on Wales. Again, you'd expect them to be very warm favourites with a big line, and I would expect that they are far stronger. And PNG, Cook Islands, that'll be an interesting game. I mean, PNG will certainly be probably 10 to 12 point favourites, they get a chance to probably win well and try and help their for and against. So very good week coming up.
The other one that I was interested in too, I like France plus the 36.5. So I don't mind that as an option too. I think on the back of, they strike me as the side will be improving through the tournament and probably playing their best football in their last game. So last round game. So I like the plus 36.5 for France.